It's him. So the heavens declare his glory. And he says, day unto day they uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not. What do you think that's saying?
Well, there's no time.
Huh? Thank you, brother. I give you an A, but it's not quite an A answer, but that's a good answer. You keep working on that, I'll give you an A. See? Helen says, what did he say? You got to speak up, brother. The whole world, you say. That's right. Listen, the whole world. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It speaks your language. Huh? Don't matter where you are in this world. It's there too. I don't know of any place in the world where the sun don't come up and the moon don't show and the stars don't show. There's not. I mean, in Alaska, at some times of the year, you get 20, I think it's 20 hours a day of sunshine. And then another part of the year, you get 4 hours of sunshine. But it's always there. So he says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth. Well, there it is. And their words to the end of the... Well, there it is. You must have been reading that, Bill. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat of it. Now, what's the next two words? Isn't that strange to you? I mean, he's talking about heaven and the universe and the creation and how it speaks to the world. And then all of a sudden he says the law. Well, he's such a good God, honey. In case you look up and don't get the message, he's laying down the law. That's what he's doing. He says, I'll write it out for you. Hey, like that. Since you can't look up and get the vastness of it, I'll write it down for you. The law of the Lord is converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is making wise the simple. What's he talking about here? Well, what does it mean to convert the soul and make wise the simple?
Well, converting the soul is salvation.
Well, what is making wise the simple?
Well, because accepting Christ.
It's the same thing, honey. It's the same thing. When you get saved, you get the wisdom of God. That's what 1 Corinthians says.
Right.
It's the wisdom of God and the power of God. So when he says it converts the soul, this does.
Uh-huh.
And it makes wise the simple. The stupid, it makes you wise. Look, I don't have a doctorate, or I'd be wiser than I am intellectually speaking. But I got a doctorate, folks. Hey, I'm wise. And anybody accepts Christ is wise. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
wisdom.
Oh, hey, come on, hey, shout it out. One of these days, I'm going to get y'all. Bless God, you're going to shout these things out. We need to shout it out. It's good. Don't be afraid to shout out. I don't mean that. I'm not being mean to you. Let's go back before I get in trouble. The statutes of the Lord are... Remember I said, if you're not right with him,
you're wrong
with him. They know in between. You're either right with him or wrong with him. If you're wrong with him, bless God, you've got trouble. Now, that's the bad news. But the good news, if you're wrong with him, you can be right. Rejoicing the heart. Does it? Listen, you can't tell me there's not some joy in your heart when you know you're right with God. Let me put it another way. If I draw my last breath, Bill, I can draw it rejoicing in God. Why? Because I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I know I'm not on his wrong side. I'm on his right side. Why do you think it says that Jesus sits on the right hand of the majesty on high? Bless God, because you want to be on the right side of God. Well, how can you be on the right side of God? Well, you get in his son and you'll be on the right hand of the majesty on high. You'll be right. But if you listen to this world, if you listen to religion, if you let the world set your standards, if you let the world set your morals, bless God, you'll be wrong. It's that simple. It's not hard. The commandment of the Lord is enlightening. This is all what salvation is, folks. But you see what salvation really is having Christ. Salvation is not saying I'm saved. Salvation is not saying I'm a Christian. Salvation is not saying I'm a religious person. Oh, I'm a person of faith. Salvation is about having whom this is talking about. These are all attributes, not just of the Word, but of the one who gave the Word. These are the attributes of God Himself. And if you have Christ, you've got all the attributes of God. And if you don't have the attributes of God, don't go around saying you know Him. You're deceiving yourself. And that's not aimed at anybody in here. I don't know anybody in here. I'm just teaching. By the way, where's my new member that don't like me?
She's got arthritis in her knees and they've been bothering her.
That is no excuse. And you tell her.
No, I'll let you tell her.
No, I want you to tell her. I tell you, that's the first person that's ever joined this church said, I don't love Tom. Boy, it hurt. I've done run two off back. Oh, God. Now, I looked this morning, I said, well, I've run another one off.
You know what, Tom? She really does love you.
You think she does?
Oh, I know she does.
Well, I can tell you this. I love her.
I know
she. More to be desired are they than... Why does he go, folks, why does he go there? He's talking about the purity and the righteousness of the Word and what it's capable of doing. He's talking about its power. He's talking about its perfection. Why does he go to gold?
Because that's something that we can.
Well, let's think for a second. Now remember, I gave you two words there. They both started with P, right? See, if you sort of study like this, it sort of helps you remember this way. What do you call gold?
Pure.
There we go. Listen, anybody that knows gold says that's a precious
metal.
Metal.
I'm sorry.
So, and you listen, you if you think for 1 second that you can convince me that people that are in this human body that don't like gold. Yeah, I hear these people, well, I really don't want to be rich. Oh, come on. Please. There ain't nobody in here to turn down wealth. Right? Nobody. I mean, come on. Nobody would turn it down. But God says, look, don't desire it. There's a difference in the two, you know. Desiring means I want it more than I want what he just said. His word is perfect. He just said that. His word is powerful. He just said that. And his word is precious. He just said that. More to be desired than gold. Yea, even. Now, John, you do know there's a difference there, don't you? There's a difference in just gold. Now, what is the difference?
Refinery.
Yeah. No, and it becomes more
precious.
Valuable. You're like me. Valuable. You must be on that same medication I am. So he's talking about the Word of God and what it should mean to us. Because that's what the law is, folks. The law is the Word of God. The law is the Word of God. Now, go to Romans, if you will. Romans 7. And I'm just going to pick up where we left off last week. Now, let me sort of summarize back so that y'all understand. Look up now. Don't look down. Don't look down. How does Romans 7 start out?
Talking to the Pharisees and scribes?
No. He says, therefore, brethren, and then in parentheses it says, for I speak to those who know the law. The law. And then he says, don't you know that you are, that the law hath dominion over a
man.
Now, that word there, ladies, means humanity. It's not talking about gender at all. It's talking about humanity. And therefore, it covers everyone. It doesn't just cover Jews who know the law. It covers Gentiles. Because you know why God called Israel out, don't you? A small nation. What was the reason he called them out? Why did he choose them? Huh?
An example.
Well, that's sort of. He chose them to do something specifically. To go to the Gentiles. Remember, we have Jonah. You remember Jonah? And God said, I want you to go down to Nineveh, which is the Gentiles. And he said, I want you to tell them, if they don't repent, bless God, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah says, I ain't going down there. I'll get on this other boat and I ain't going down there. Now, why didn't he want to go down there, Bill? Was he just stubborn? Was he just proud? No, he hated Gentiles. Because he knew if he went, God would save them. He didn't want them saved. That was the problem with the Pharisees, folks. I told you, they wouldn't walk on the same side of a street where a Gentile had walked. They were so much better. Well, if you've got that idea, or if I've got that idea about me, how in the world am I going to witness or testify to anybody or to tell anybody about the goodness of God? If we are not willing to put ourselves down below everybody, we're not willing to do the work of God. And so, he says, now listen, don't you know that under the law, that a woman who hath a husband is bound to that husband as long as the husband liveth. Now, you can like what I'm getting ready to say, or you can not like it. I don't really care. I don't. He didn't say, as long as a wife is bound to her wife, or long as a husband is bound to his husband. Bless God, he said, as long as a wife is bound to her husband. And vice versa. As long as a husband is bound to his wife. As long as they live, they're bound. By law now. By law. But remember I told you he's not talking about marriage. No, that's just the illustration of being, having the law having dominion over you. Something has to happen to break that power, that dominion of the law on you. And what is that? Well, he says, for as long as the man liveth, if she be married to another, she committeth adultery. Well, adultery was punishable by death. He says, but if the husband be dead, then she is free. She's delivered from the
law.
So what did it take to deliver from the law? Hey, hence salvation, folks. This book, this chapter of this book, is defining for you what salvation is. Salvation's not going up there and making a profession. Salvation's not going up and shaking the preacher's hand. Salvation's not joining this church. Salvation is about you willing to die to yourself and die with Christ. That's what it is. Because that's the only thing that will set you free. Otherwise, you are an adulterer or an adulteress. That's what it says. You can't be married to the world and be married to Christ. That's not
possible.
It's not possible. Why is it not possible, Billy? Why is it not possible? Because God said it's not. God said that's not possible. Now I realize that there are some who think that they can just profess something religiously and still be attached to the world. That's not possible, folks. That's committing adultery. God don't put up with that. That's not salvation. Salvation is a death. So he says in verse 5, for when we were, don't you like that past tense? For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin or the actions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members. That's your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your legs, everything about you. All it wanted to do was what? Sin. Well, what's the case now if you're saved? No, honey. No. Listen, have you ever heard this? When a child of God passes away and we see him up there in the casket, or her in the casket, and we say, that's not
him.
Or
her.
Well, and is that true?
Yes.
That is true, isn't it? Well, is that true when they're alive?
Yes.
Well, you better believe it. You better believe it. It's the same thing. I'll show you. He tells you. It's. I'm not making it. Listen, it's right in here. I'll give it to you. He says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto. In other words, when we were lost, all we wanted to do was sin, and that sin was bringing death. Why? Well, let me ask you this. John. He wakes up one morning and he's decided he's had enough with Becky. And Becky's asleep. John goes in there and gets a shotgun.
Oh my God.
And just blows her head off. Now John has committed
murder.
Now how do we know John has committed murder? No. How do we know John's committed murder?
Because I'm dead.
No. No. Something has to tell the people that come to arrest him that he's committed a murder.
Evidence. Patty and Richard will tell.
starts with an L, second word is A, and the next layer is W. Law. Listen, if there was no law that said John can't blow her head off, it's murder if he does, then John's not guilty of anything. He better be. I think we're not talking literally, we're talking figuratively. I don't wish John to blow your head off. My point is this. If there is no law, you wouldn't know he wouldn't know he committed murder. It wouldn't break the law either. It's not a law. But if it is a law, he's broke it. Now, is it the law's fault that he did that? No. The law just simply showed him that he did it. It's no different than anything else. This book is perfect. I just read it to you in 19, Psalms 19. This book is perfect. This book is to point out to you when you're breaking it. And it doesn't mean this is bad. It means you were bad. And what you did was bad. So he says, because he goes on to say, but now as opposed to then. Listen, then I was bringing forth nothing but fruit unto death. Boy, I like it, but now. Oh, glory. I'll tell you what I like, but now. But now we are. The law is rendered entirely idle to us. That's what it means. We are delivered from the law. Is the law gone away?
No.
Huh? No, it's not gone away. So what does it mean to be delivered from it? Well, I'll go back to my murder. There's a law that says he can't blow her head off. Aren't you glad, honey? And we better get him, haven't we? She said, yeah. So, since there is a law, now there must be an
punishment.
Thank you. I knew you'd get it. Listen, since there is a law, if you break the law, you have to be punished. Now, I'm going to show that to you. File that under P, and I'll come back to it in just a second. All right, now, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We're different now. We didn't turn over a new leaf. Bless God, we're a new creation. We're not what we were. We're different now. The law now is fulfilled in us, not because we fulfilled it, but because Christ fulfilled. All right, so he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. He wouldn't know he murdered except the law said he did. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion, or, we got any military men in here? Okay. You know what a beachhead is, don't you? That's a point in which you start a offensive. That's your starting point. That's what this word means. It means an opportunity. Sin took opportunity by the very law. It's like this. Now you got to listen. If you're gonna act too pious with me, this won't work. But if you're not, it'll work. You're going down the street, and here is a sign. Don't walk on the grass. Now that is the law. What's your first inclination? You can't tell me you don't want to go. Hey, you can't tell me that. If you're walking down the street and here's a sign that says do not cross here. Listen, you can't tell me that you don't do this. Just to see if you can. Well, where do you think that comes from? Listen, if it's that way with man's law, this flesh is the same way with God's law, folks. When God says, walk upright before me, this body, this flesh that we are housed in, it's looking around to see, what can I get away with? Well, you might get away with walking across that street and not getting caught. But bless God, you won't get away. Listen, we live in a world now of cameras, right? I mean, there's cameras everywhere. You do something now, bless God, you're on cameras. Smile, you're on candy camera. God's had them cameras before cameras come along, folks. There's nothing God don't see. There's nothing God don't hear. There's nothing God don't know. So here's what that covers. God sees everything you do. God knows everything you think. Right? Nothing gets by him. That's like my little sister. She was going this Friday to the urologist, and she was so nervous about it, and she's wanting certain things to happen. And I told her, I said, honey, I said, look, the doctor may not tell you what you want to hear, but I said, let me tell you this. I'll tell you who will walk in that room with you to talk to that doctor, and that's the Lord. And I'll tell you who will walk out, bless God, with you. And the doctor stays in the room, but I'll tell you who will walk out with you, the same one that walked in with you. I said, just one day at a time, trust him, Lord. Just trust in the Lord one day at a time. That's what that's saying. That's what that's saying. So he says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of evil desires. And I saw the sign and said, don't walk. Boy, I just had a desire to walk across there. Because that, listen, if we'll understand that's what we're housed in. But it's not us. It's not you. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, it is you. It is you. Remember? But now, you're in the previous verse. If you're not saved, that's you. But if you're saved, that's not you. He says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came and the sin revived and I died, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto... He says, the very thing that I thought would give me life brought me death. What does that mean? Well, here's what that means, Janet, since you're looking at me so quizzically. If you keep the law, can you be saved?
No.
Oh, you better believe you can. Oh, bless God, don't tell me you can't. If you could keep God's law to a jot and a tittle.
Oh, if I could. I misunderstood your question.
Well, I said if you keep the law, can you be saved?
Yeah, but you can.
Well, I didn't say you can't. I said if you can. That's the point. That's where you have to come to, folks. Listen, God's law doesn't go away. God's not done away with his law. His law's there. We got to find a way now to not be under it. If you're under the law, you're unsaved. And if you're under the law, the penalty of breaking the law is death. So he says, the very thing that I thought would give me life, I'm trying to keep the law, he said. Listen, the Pharisees, they thought they were keeping the law. They thought they were teaching people to keep the law. Well, no, they weren't. Because they couldn't. But there's one who did. He says, For I was alive without the law once, but when the law, commandment came, sin revived and I died. And after the commandment which was ordained, life I found to be unto death. For sin taking, there's that word again, having a beachhead or an opportunity by the commandment, deceived me. What deceived him? Huh? Sin. What deceives people that are unsaved, folks? Sin. What keeps them from Christ? Sin and the fact that they love the sin. They're not willing to give it up. And they're not willing to see that it's killing them. They see themselves as good people. I'm not kicking on people. I don't judge people. I know people that you would swear they're good people. But if they don't know Christ, folks, they're lost. There's none good. On God's standard, it's not, listen, this, man don't get to set the standards. Man don't get to say, this is what I think it is. This is if you live this way, certainly you get in. You know, I told you, I don't remember who it was. It was a very rich guy that died just last year. And you know what they said at his funeral? They said, if this man doesn't deserve to be in heaven, no one does. And they listed all the things that he did, all the good things. Well, let me list them for you. They're all over here. And the world says, oh, well, surely that'll get you in. But you know what'll outweigh that? Sin. If he's not dealt with the sin, all those things will make no difference. So that's what he's talking about. And he says, for sin taking occasion by the commandments deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the... Now, what is he saying there? What's he saying there? Come on, help me. What's he saying? He says, the law is holy. Is that true? Well, you better believe it. But then he has this conjunction there. Y'all know, our pastor says, you know, we add the mayonnaise to the bologna. I don't know where he come up with that stuff. It means in addition to. So in addition to the word being holy, what else is holy? If the law is holy, let me help you out. Who else is holy? We call him the lawgiver. Now, that word commandment in the Greek means injunction. Now, everybody in here knows what an injunction is, don't you? Huh? An injunction is this. I'm going to take John's property. And John don't think I've got a right to take that property. So John goes to the court and he seeks an injunction to stop me from taking his property until it can be judicially litigated, right? An injunction is an authoritative order. Here it comes. Or warning. So here's what it's saying. He says, my word is holy. And the judge that gave you that word, his command is holy. The command for you to do this and not do this, he too is holy. But not just holy. Did you notice there's three attributes there? Not only the lawgiver is holy because the law he gave is holy, but he's also righteous, just. He's right. In other words, his command to tell you what to do and what not to do, bless God, it's right. I mean, you can say, well, he doesn't have any right to tell me how to live. Well, I got news for you. Bless God, he does and he will. I mean, you go ahead and listen. I tell people, live any way you want to. You can live contrary to what this book says, and you can say, this broke my heart this morning. Elijah, in the prayer room. Y'all know Elijah, don't you? You know what his prayer request was? He wanted us to pray for his schoolmates. He said almost all of them were atheists. You know what I told him? I said, son, just be the light. Live the light. Talk the light. Be the light. And it's up to them to see the light. You can't make them see it. Listen, I can talk to them blue in the face. I can't make people believe this. But I'll tell you what. There's a consequence for not believing it because the lawgiver, the one that gave the law, the one that said, that you wouldn't come any other way than through his son. You say, Tom, that's not the law. Well, I beg to differ with you. He says,